Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Today's show, joint pain, arthritis, inflammation, what to do about it. Now, I've done this show about four times over 5 years, but every time I do it, I cover a different angle. So if you're new to the show, make sure you get on the website. That's straighttalk.cc. That's with two T's, .cc, not .com. And take a look at my other shows on arthritis, joint pain, and what you can do about it. Can't cover it in 60 minutes. Now, if you're on the website, fantastic. What I want to start with today is the anatomy of the joint. If you get this down, you've got a basic understanding, and then we can work with it. And you can see what you can do about the joint pain you lived with for a long time. Now, one of my degrees is in chiropractic. And chiropractic taught me to adjust the joint. And for as much as I saw that work sometimes, there were far, far too many times that I didn't see it work too well. So I got into nutrition. And nutrition taught me that that would solve the problem. I got into massage therapy very intensely, and it taught me that that would solve the problem. But when I really looked at the results, what I saw usually is that these single-shot therapies went so far, but they never really eliminated the problem. And this is what I think large-scale America faces today, if not everybody else in the world. The notion that if you're not going to do drugs and you're not going to do surgery, there's this thing looming called alternative approaches. And you go to your chiropractor, you go to your acupuncturist, you try your herbalist. People love to do that. It's all great. But if you're the person that it hasn't worked for, you got to shift your perspective. And that's why I do this show. Not so much to endorse an herb or sell an herb or tell you that you have to do a one-shot therapy, that you need to go to this place. We've got tons of that. I think we do a great job of one-shot approaches, and hopefully they work. But I think, for the most part, in my experience over two decades, you've got to get a deeper understanding because your solution is specific to you. And the jump is that you need a combination of therapies, which doesn't mean you just throw a hodgepodge of therapies at it. So I want to make that point clear. To say that a one-shot approach, however optimistic we may be, for many people may require multiple approaches, it doesn't mean you just throw a bunch of things at it. There's an art to it, and that art depends on understanding your specificity. And that's a trial and error thing. So one person may need to stretch and cleanse and get cross-fibered. Another person may need to release emotions in a joint. That you can hold emotions in a joint, a hip, a knee, a neck, a spine, is new to a lot of people. And if it's not new, it may not be your cause. You may not hold emotion in a joint. You may simply need to dissolve crystals using certain types of herbs that will break up precipitate deposits in the joints. So everybody's different is the point. Everybody's going to have a different sequence to success. Now, what does that mean to you, John Q. Public? Well, it means you've got to have some more understanding. And that's why I do this show. That's why I have archives that you can get on and listen to the show again and again. And I structure this show that way because I know for you to be successful, you have to be the high information voter, not the low information voter. You can't do this on Cliff Notes. Many of you are not going to succeed doing the Cliff Note approach. So let's begin. Let's go to the joint. if you're driving, you can't get on the website, or if you can't get on the website for whatever reason, I'll describe as best I can. For those of you who can, please indulge the website. The pictures tell so much. Here's the anatomy of a joint. Two bones meet. That's a joint. Two bones meet. You got your wrist, your elbow, your shoulder, your knee, all the joints in your spine, where two joints come together. When those two joints come together, nature put shiny cartilage layers on the end of each joint. And the purpose of the cartilage is to cushion the joint. The purpose of the cartilage is to allow the joint surfaces to glide over each other. But it's not all. In between the joint is a fluid. And that fluid's called synovial fluid. So where your bone meets bone is coated with cartilage. Yeah, later that cartilage may break down. That's a form of arthritis. But in that joint there is a lot of fluid, synovial fluid. So basically, where two bones meet, you are floating in fluid. That fluid is in a sac. That fluid has a saran wrap around it. That's called the joint capsule. So two bones meet, we have a joint. Paint on some cartilage at the end of each bone. Inject some fluid in there and then wrap that fluid so it doesn't leak out in a sac called the synovial sheath. Encapsulating the synovial fluid, encapsulating the space where the two bones meet, and then paint on some cartilage, shiny, glistening cartilage. Anybody that eats chicken knows what I'm talking about, right? When you take apart a chicken bone, everyone's done that. That shiny stuff on the end of the bone is cartilage. Okay, perfect. Now, next thing, we're going to put some connective tissue on those two bones. When what connective tissue, I mean, we're going to put ligaments. Anatomy 101, ligaments tie the bone to the bone. Yes, you can tear a ligament. You can sprain a ligament. And then we're going to ice the cake with tendons. A tendon connects the muscles to the bones. And you know what tendons are, down by the ankle in the back, the Achilles tendon. Behind your knee, if you put your fingers behind your knee, those things that stick out are your tendons. We've got these sinewy, rope-like tendons all over the body where joints are, where bone meet bone. We have muscles attached in there, and we attach the muscle through the tendon. And when you contract the muscle, the tendon pulls the bone, and then the bone moves the way you want it to. That's how you walk. That's how you jump, run, write. Anytime you're locomoting, anytime you're moving, rest assured, muscles are contracting, tendons are pulling bone, and those bones have to glide in the joint. Perfect. All right, you can reflect on that. If you got that, you got a lot. Now, where do we go from there? Well, we go to degeneration. That's the issue. Lots of things can go wrong, and when they go wrong, we call it joint pain, and we call it arthritis, we call it osteoarthritis, we call it rheumatoid or an autoimmune arthritis or a psoriatic arthritis. Anytime something's cockamamie in the joint space, we give it a name. Usually, and this is what you don't know, the solutions all come down to the same basic things. But we like to do what we like to do, which is paint on fancy names. And there's a relevance and an importance to that. So I'm not knocking it. But what it does often is it masks solutions. That osteoarthritis is so different than rheumatoid arthritis. Well, it is. But really, in the end, you're doing about the same things for it. So everything's the same for everybody. No, the sequence in which John Smith will solve his osteoarthritis, and Mary Kay will solve hers. That sequence of therapies are different. That's how you differ. It's not so much that the causes are different, it's how you get to the solutions. That'll become clear, hopefully, by the end of the show. As always, I want to tell you that how you approach your healing is as important as the healing itself. It is the healing. Your understanding, your perspective, your patience, that is the healing. It's not so much the enemy, it's the attitude of the person that's slaying the dragon. And that's where education comes in handy. I had a new intro on the show today. I love this new intro. I talk about faith. Faith. And then I talk about knowledge. And if you're going to sustain your faith, well, very often you need to rely on the knowledge. Knowledge grows faith. And that's the intellectual part. The righteous intellectual part is to learn more. Some people don't have to. Some people, it's interesting, they don't have to know a darn thing about their bodies to heal. They just don't. Every now and then I see someone like that. You just tell them what to do, and they go out and do it like it's gospel, and they come back happy. Not many people are like that, especially today. We have a techno, intellectual, educated American society that are only half educated. And I think a little education is dangerous in the sense I'm using it, because it doesn't grow faith. Education is supposed to grow faith, not skepticism. So a lot of people who are sick, a lot of people who suffer with joint pain are skeptical, analytical, to the point of detriment. Well, that could have something to do with what we call education. I do this show to give you the education that grows faith. And I've covered this topic in many ways. All right, let's continue. So you've got the anatomy of the joint. Perfect. Now, what happens? Here's a principle. Those of you doctors listening to the show or therapists, get this one straight. There's a principle here you have to understand. You cannot get to the joint if the muscles guarding the joint do not allow the person to isolate the joint. Big words for, if you got pain in the knee, and that pain is arthritic, meaning the joint's broken down, we'll define that loosely that way now. If you got pain in the knee, and that knee's all broken down, and it's arthritic, the muscles around the knee are so tight that you cannot get the therapy to the knee. It doesn't matter if it's nutritional. It doesn't matter if it's physical therapy. It's very difficult to affect the joint when the joint's broken down, and it's caused the muscles around it to get too tight. Now, in my language, over 20 years doing, I think, just about everything there is to do on joints, I can tell you what I just said is gold. That's something anybody listening has to take to the bank. And what that means is, to expect an arthritis to clear out of a joint, to expect someone who's been diagnosed with an osteoarthritis, to expect someone who has a real health concern about their joint to help that joint, to help it dramatically. So I'm not talking about the tidbit of help we get from an aspirin or an herb. I'm talking about to really make that joint healthy again. You have to be able to isolate the joint. The herbs have to get to the joint and drain the joint. The joint has to be in an ecosystem that allows the garbage, the noxious crystals that have precipitated in the joint, to drain away from the joint. If you're getting physical therapy, massage therapy, stretch therapy, muscular therapy into the joint, the muscles around the joint have to be lengthened enough to where you can affect the joint. Now, this is a radio show and not a seminar, so it may be a little tougher to get it more clear in your mind. But I just want you to consider, I'll take the knee as an example. So many people have knee pain. But this applies to the shoulder, to the neck, to the low back, to the ankle, to the elbow. It doesn't matter. If you've got knee pain and I say, okay, bend down and touch your toes, and your fingers, the tips of your fingers, are 6-8 inches from the floor, you're never going to get to the knee joint. If somebody's got knee pain and their thighs are in such gross contracture that they can't even sit in a kneeling position because it kills the top of their foot or their thigh screams because it's so short in contracture, you're never going to get to the knee joint, or you're barely going to get to the knee joint. Or if those muscles, as we see demonstrated by your inability to stretch, if those muscles are so short and tight, the joint is protected by those muscles that are so short. And what we've done is siphoned off the joint. We're guarding the joint. So we can't get to the joint. And you may say, well, that's good. No, it's not good. Because if you want to heal that joint, you have to be able to connect to it as you move it, as you stretch it, especially as you stretch it, as you massage it. This is not understood. If you're thinking you got it, good. I want you to think that. But I can tell you the function is, or the practice of this, is not understood. You don't see what I'm suggesting evidenced in physical therapy or any joint rehab I generally see. Why? Because most people, and is that person you? Are you in the audience today? Have you lived for years with neck pain, back pain, shoulder pain, elbow pain, wrist pain, knee pain, ankle pain? I'll bet you you're as inflexible as a board. And I'll bet you no one's ever said, if you expect to really get rid of this, you've got to get dancer flexible. You've got to get quite flexible. Okay, you don't have to get freaky deaky flexible, but you've got to get considerably flexible. You've got to get to be flexible like you were when you were a cheerleader, a martial artist, or an athlete. Hopefully, if you were one of those or all of those three, you were flexible back then. And if you've never been flexible, so you can't remember any of this, if you think you came out of the birth canal inflexible and you live with chronic joint pain, I'm strongly suggesting you to get flexible. All right. This is really just the intro. We've done a 16-minute introduction. There's a lot to joint pain. All right, so we discussed the anatomy of the joint. Good. You have a sense of what I mean when I say, unless the muscles around the joint get stretched out, you're not going to be able to apply local therapy to the joint, whether it's massage therapy or nutritional therapy. Good nutritional therapy will drain poison out of the joint. If the joint's compressed by the muscles around it, you can't drain it. The lymph, veins, nerves, arteries are all crunched as they approach the joint because the muscles around it are too tight. All right. Let's continue. If you can get to the website, straighttalk.cc, move on down to picture number 5. Nice picture of osteoarthritis. What we say as that joint breaks down is a bunch of things can go wrong. The cartilage begins to chip off. And when the cartilage begins to chip off, or as the cartilage between the two bones thins out, the ends of the bones get a little bit closer to each other. Often you hear bone on bone. Let me tell you something about bone on bone. 9 times out of 10, you're not bone on bone. That is a gross exaggeration. And even though you think you're seeing it on an x-ray or some radiologist puts it there, 9 times out of 10, when you get an x-ray or a scan, a CT or an MRI, and they tell you it's bone on bone, 9 times out of 10, it's not. You got to understand the upsell in orthopedics. And I don't, in a sense, it's not an immoral upsell. If you're 60, 65, 70, and they give you an x-ray or an MRI, and they tell you it's bone on bone, a lot of times what they really mean is it's going to be bone on bone. And why don't we replace the joint when you're 60 rather than 70? Because as you age, then you decrease or increase your failure rate. So let's do it now and get it out of the way. And that's the way a lot of orthopedic guys think. Now, I'm not going to attack that from a standpoint of ethics, because I think a lot of doctors are just thinking, look, it's coming down the pipe. There's nothing else you can do about it. And on that basis, you just got to do it. Do it now. Don't wait till you're 80. If you almost need it at 70, why spend 10 years in agony when we can just replace the joint and then you can have that next 10 years to 15 years without that pain that you had? I don't know about that one, but a lot of times what will happen on the picture, the x-ray, the MRI, the CT scan, the diagnostic ultrasound, is they'll tell you it's bone on bone when it ain't bone on bone. Never, never, never go to joint replacement unless you've really exhausted in an intelligent way your options. And I mean, you got to learn about that. That's why I do the show. If you're thinking about replacing a joint, I must have done 5 or 6 shows on joints, bones, across 300 shows. Listen to all 6 hours, then listen to all 6 hours again, and then listen to all 6 hours again until you've really digested it. And then go out there and work with that joint. Don't replace a joint. Why? Joints reflex to organs, and organs reflex to joints. Crazy, huh? Crazy to say that the kidney and the knee are tied together. But it's true. In clinical experience, it's true. And if you want to know what double-blind placebo study out there floating around in Lancet or the New England Journal of Medicine supports the statement or proves it, let me tell you ahead of time, no one does. It's empiric. That's a big word. I often use it, empiric. If you talk to doctors out there who work with the human body, there is a very noticeable relationship between the health of the kidney and the health of the knee. And on that basis, we see when knees get replaced, if the kidneys were failing, the kidneys move into failure that much faster. Not always, but often enough in a way that raises a brow or two. Now, Chinese and Vedic medicine, but of course, we're the West. We own the world. We run the world. We run global intelligence. So the East in China and the East in India, but the old cultures, not the new ones. The old cultures of Chinese and Vedic medicine would agree with my statement. In fact, their whole science, their whole art of healing is based on empiricism. They would agree. So know that I'm not the only one telling you that before you replace a joint, be aware that joints and organs have relationships, knee and kidney being one grand example. So understand the context of these statements. A word to the wise. Okay, so the cartilage breaks down and we call that arthritis. The joint space thins and now bone's getting closer to bone. And as I said, it's not bone on bone, bone's closer to bone. This is not good. You may even start a problem where the immune system gets involved. Now, what does that mean? This is where the word inflammation starts to have meaning. If bone starts getting closer to bone, if cartilage thins, if cartilage chips off, you get those little immune system cells floating around, macrophages, T cells, lymphocytes. And when they see things are wrong, if there's enough going on that alarms the immune system pulls out a whistle. Remember, the immune system's the police department, in this case, in the joint. And the immune system pulls out a whistle, blows a whistle, more immune system cells come in. And before you know it, you begin the inflammatory response, which means what? Blood flow in, all sorts of toxic chemicals produced by the immune system, prostaglandins, thromboxanes, bradykinins, all sorts of chemicals are produced in this inflammatory goo that the immune system signals when the immune system signals the joint breaking down. That joint is breaking down for a multitude of reasons. We'll discuss that later. But whatever breaks the joint down, when the immune system sees it, the inflammatory cascade begins in these noxious pain-producing chemicals. What do I mean by pain-producing? These chemicals are produced by the immune system. These chemicals irritate nerve endings. Wherever there's cells, organs, wherever there's electrons, wherever there's mass, anything, there's nerves. microscopic nerves, electromagnetic fields encasing areas where there are no nerves. But the nervous system, electromagnetically or literally, will touch every cell, every space, every micrometer of the, every angstrom unit of the human body will be affected, influenced by the nervous system. And when the immune system blows these whistles, because tissues are breaking down in the joint, nerve endings get irritated by these chemicals, and that irritation goes up to your brain, and your brain says, you're in pain, ouch. Now, that's a protective mechanism, right? Something's biting your leg, or someone sticks a nail through your joint. It's good that your brain realizes it so that you can fix the problem. Otherwise, you lose the leg. So it's a protective mechanism, but now we're talking about chronic pain. Chronic pain that goes on and on and on and on. And so the pan, it jumps from the pan to the fire, from the fire to the wall. And before you know it, the whole house is burning down. And your knee is in danger, your shoulder, your wrist, your neck. And this goes on and on and on. And then you go out and you try the single therapies. I went to the chiropractor. I went to the massage therapist. I went to the acupuncturist. I heard these herbal supplements are going to fix it. I hope they work for you. If they don't, listen harder to this show. That's why I do this show. I know what's out there. I wouldn't be doing this show if I saw single shot therapies work a lot. They help, but helping you isn't quite up to your expectation. Getting you out there on the golf greens, on the basketball court, getting you to jog again. My God, I'm getting old enough to say, getting you to be happy playing with your grandkids. I used to hear people say that. I'd go, I don't relate to this. I'm relating to it. If you're 70 years old, if you're in your 60s, you can't keep up with kids. So I do understand, you know, you have people come in their 70s and they say, I just want to be healthy enough to play with my grandkids. Oh, yeah. Now let's get down to it. But no, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. So whatever it is, to help isn't enough. And this is my point. You can take the single shot approach. It's not enough. You want to be able to move around and keep up with your grandkids or get back to your sport. Or maybe you're at that point where you're on another relationship in your life. You're going back to school. You're starting a new business. We have a whole new nation out there now. And just sitting in a chair at 50, 60, or 70 years old, well, maybe that's the way our grandparents viewed it. But I don't think your average 70-year-old, remember, your average 70-year-old today was a hippie in the 60s. If you're 70 today, that's Vietnam. Vietnam is like yesterday. So helping you, I don't think is enough. I think you want a radiant return. So let's continue with our understanding. You have an inflammatory response, which means little pain chemicals are produced. And those pain chemicals you can shut off with Tylenol or ibuprofen. And so your joint feels better. Okay, good. Or you can, if you're not into the chronic use of aspirin or Tylenol or ibuprofen, because they will have side effects over the years and you're counseled not to use them. God forbid you have to use steroids. Even non-steroidal anti-inflammatories are garbage. But even your medical doctors will tell you the chronic use of a steroid. Somebody getting repeated cortisone injections into a joint so they aren't in pain is asking for trouble. Now, athletes know this, and by the time they're 50, your average football, basketball, baseball, boxing, martial artist, UFC champ, my God, will you see a deteriorated joint from chronic use of steroids to deal with pain? But we're pretty good at dealing with pain. I mean, we started with morphine. We have people addicted to Oxycontin. We have people addicted to all the morphine-type opiates. But that's not a lot of people. Most people will hit the aspirins, the Tylenols, and just use them chronically. Lots of people that listen to this show, that listen to other shows, they don't want to go there. They're going to go to the herbs. You're going to go to Cat's Claw. You're going to go to Devil's Claw. You're going to go to Boswellan, Boswellic Acid. You're going to go to turmeric, the curcumin and the turmeric. You're going to try herbs, and you should try herbs. But again, I think the most you get is help. Why? You don't understand causality. So what do I mean? Well, here's the issue. First of all, the minute the joint begins to decompose and you start going into pain, the muscles around the joint will turn into a rock. And unless, en route to the healing of that joint, you are well counseled, well supervised in a flexibility program. I don't mean that you stretch once a day for 5 minutes and after 4 months, note a miracle. I mean, unless you get 50 to 75% more flexible in the joint, unless you get considerably more flexible in your body, that's one piece that you're missing. Once those muscles around the joint constrict, the joint biomechanics are destroyed. Meaning the force vectors, the lines of force through the joint, as you move each day, as you stand, as you sit, as you walk, as you climb stairs, as you play with your grandkids, as you pet your dog, the lines of force through that joint are all off. They're wrong. Once the joint deteriorates and an inflammatory cycle begins, the kind that makes you reach for the ibuprofen, the muscles around the joint turn into a rock, and the lines of force through the joint are way off. We say joint damage is complicated by faulty biomechanics. Don't you love this? Are you excited right now? Or do you have a headache? You got to be excited. This is fascinating. If you get this, you get cured. You'll cure yourself. I don't cure. Doctors don't cure. You cure you by embracing the truth for you. Take a look at picture 15. Take a look at picture 15. Now there. That's from Rolf. Person on the left is a bunch of crooked blocks. Person on the right is all stacked up correctly. Here's another great example. Picture 18. You're going to laugh. Picture 18. Boris Karloff in Frankenstein, 1931. Picture 20. Boris Karloff in Frankenstein, 1931. He's in there. I think that's May Clark or May Bush. I can't remember. There's Boris about to attack her on her wedding day. Remember that scene? 1931, James Whale, Frankenstein. You see how Boris is always tilted forward? Don't worry about those guys. Even if they're 8 feet tall, they're always about to fall. Frankenstein, if you watch him walk, Frankenstein, if you observe him standing, if you observe him moving, is always about to tip over. Just kick those guys in the knees, ladies. They're going down. There's no balance. Frankenstein is picture 15, the crooked bunch of blocks. If your bodies become a crooked bunch of blocks, which is what happens once the muscles around the joint constrict, you're going to reinforce the destruction of the joint because you've become a crooked bunch of blocks. Now go over there and look at picture 17. That's my buddy there, the Shaolin monk at the waterfall. Look at picture if you really want to flip out. Look at picture number 21. Those of you at the computer, first, I applaud you to get to the computer, but I understand a lot of people can't. But if you can get to picture 21, I mean, look at that. This guy's squatted down, but he's squatting on one leg, and his other leg is sitting across the top of the one leg that's squatting. Try that one on for size. That guy's got balance. When that guy's moving, the lines of force are moving through the joint where they're supposed to be. He has perfect body mechanics. Dancers, Pilates people, Shaolin monks, Kung Fu guys, those skinny, flexible, powerful, sinewy bodies. You see them on TV. Those people, Muhammad Ali in the 60s, when Muhammad Ali beat Sonny Liston in the 60s, and he danced, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, that is biomechanical excellence. And that means, and you see it, so I know it hits that common sense in you. The force lines through the joint are perfection, and there will be flexibility to go along with it. This is why the Shaolin monks are so gymnastically flexible, because if you're not, you're going to destroy your joint. So you've been diagnosed with osteoarthritis. You suffer from pain. You've tried the herbs. You've tried the different pharmaceuticals out there. They help a little bit, but it's still preventing you from the lifestyle you want. There are still things you can't do that you need to do, and you're depressed about it and starting to accept the fact that maybe you're just old. Not the case. Not the case. Number one, the muscles around the joint are so constricted, your biomechanics is faulty, and it's just reinforcing the pain syndrome. You're continuing to tear up the joint, continuing to irritate those nerve endings. And one piece of the puzzle, notice how I say that, is you have to get much more flexible. No, I didn't say stretch for a couple of days and then say, you know, I don't feel that much different. I guess that stretching stuff didn't work. No, you must get a good 50 to 75% more flexible, which means you have to embrace the fact that getting flexible is its own art form. Yes, flexibility is an art. The art of the application of strength and flexibility. It's not just something you might not be able to do it off of video. You might not be able to do it off a bunch of pictures. It's an art, and it's a trial and error art until you start to get a good 50 to 75% more flexible. All right, there's one big piece of it. Now there's another piece of it too. It's called the precipitation of crystals into the joint. So you may be chipping off cartilage, and that may reflect nutritional deficiencies, which are important. And there's lots of stuff out there. I'll leave that to the nutrition herbalist, so to speak, in the sense of there's lots of good supplements you can take to support the health of the joint. There's lots of good supplements you can take as anti-inflammatories. But I have to explain something to you. I think in the nutritional realm, that's far more significant than either of those two statements. And that is when your body chemistry is such that you're precipitating sediments, crystals, whether they be uric acid crystals or crystals of calcium hydroxyapatite, into the joint. You're building sand, joint sand. Now, this is a little different than the breakdown of the cartilage. This is about making crystals, which are hanging around in the joint, creating the same kind of pain. Those of you that understand gout. Well, gout's kind of specific. If I did a show on gout, 9.9 people out of 10 would say I don't have gout. So this doesn't matter. So I'm not doing a show on gout right now, but I am doing a show on gout right now. meaning I'm doing a show on the fact that if your nutritional chemistry, if the health of your body has not achieved a certain level of excellence, you're going to continue to precipitate crystals, calcium hydroxyapatite, even calcium oxalate, calcium phosphate, uric acid, even lactic acid crystals into the joint spaces and to the connective tissues around the joint spaces. Precipitation. You want to talk health and nutrition? If you want to talk about the nutrition for joint repair, you have to stop precipitating. Go to picture 40 and picture 41, precipitation. Precipitation of crystals into a test tube. That's a great way to understand the word precipitation. If you look at 40, you see this cloud, this white cloud in the test tube that was once clear water. It's now cloudy water. Some of you remember in high school, right? Over the Christmas holiday, you got extra points in chemistry if you came back and you'd made a crystal. The concept and practice of what we mean by precipitation is big. That fluid, the synovial fluid, is the medium in which it should be clear and sterile. But for lots of reasons, you can start precipitating crystals into that space. No. It's not about what herb do I take to stop precipitating. It's about how, in the full gamut of health, from the thoughts you think, to the sleep you get, to your pHs, to your bowels, to how much you sweat, to how much you stretch, how do you get the intercellular chemistry, meaning the space between the joints, how do you get that fluid to the point where you'll stop precipitating? That's huge. And yes, we'd all like to sit back and say, well, that's all about pH. Well, pH is an indice of it. But don't think because your pH is good, your joint cares. Your joint, by the time you're in chronic degenerative arthritides, your joint is walled off. It is walled off from the rest of your body. You got to get that. Practitioners listening to this, the joint is walled off from the rest of your body. So yes, it's good that your pH is alkaline and all of that, but you've got to remember that joint now has been separated. It is encased in a layer of tight fibrous tendons. Again, you can see the need to get more flexible so you can then begin to change the internal chemistry of the fluid in the joint space. So yes, you've got to get flexible. Yes, you've got to bring the health and nutrition in to change the internal chemistry so you stop precipitating. Now, let's talk about another issue in terms of how you experience your joint pain. Let's talk about your average 20-year-old athlete who has a chronic bad ankle, Bill Walton. Remember Bill Walton? 6'11" center for the UCLA Bruins and then an athlete. Very dynamic guy. Bill Walton, plagued by ankle injuries. Remember Dick Butkus? Football player, plagued by knee injuries. All the athletes plagued by these constant joint, they live on cortisol. They're always getting cortisone injections. Why? Cortisone suppresses the immune system. We say cortisone is anti-inflammatory because it stops the immune response, which is the inflammatory response. It stops it dead in its tracks. So you have shoulder pain, elbow pain, wrist pain, finger pain. You have knee pain. You have low back pain. Get a shot of cortisone and go out there and win the trophy. Lots of people with chronic joint pain live on steroids. Bad. Bad long term, good short term. Super Bowl championship last week. Patriots pulled off one of the most incredible turnarounds, right, in Super Bowl history. Right. Fourth quarter, your knee hurts, you can't play. Take the shot. Take the cortisone injection. Lots of guys do. Why? There's millions on the line. Your whole career is on the line. So take a little beating. Acute use of cortisone, good. But if you make a career out of that because you didn't get flexible, because you didn't change your pH, if you didn't alter the joint chemistry to stop the precipitate, bad. You see? Everything has its place. Drugs, even surgery, has its place. But the chronic use of these things is where you have to dig deeper. Okay. You make your own cortisone. It's called cortisol. And the sister brother of it is called adrenaline. And that's your adrenal glands. So if you're the guy with joint pain and your adrenal glands are exhausted, and you're the guy with joint pain and your adrenal glands are healthy, healthy adrenal glands have a reserve of cortisol or adrenaline and adrenaline to deploy into the joint space to minimize the inflammation. Healthy people with a bad joint. A healthy person that just got their knee banged up will have enough reserve cortisol, enough reserve adrenaline to go through the day and minimize the inflammatory response because their adrenals are healthy. Or someone born with stronger adrenals will have enough reserve to minimize the inflammation and therefore minimize the pain. What does that mean to you? If you're suffering from chronic joint pain, not specific to the joint, you have to look at your overall health and make sure that your adrenal reserve is at that healthy level. That factors in. Muscles that guard, that make you fibrous and inflexible, got to deal with it. The chemistry in the joint, which reflects the chemistry of the body, but which has to really sink into the chemistry of the joint, has to stop you from precipitating. Whatever inflammation does occur, your adrenal glands have to come to the rescue. Isn't this exciting? Isn't this exciting? Think of your one-shot solutions. Think of the amount of years you've given to one-shot solutions. And you're still asking for more. And what you're missing is an understanding or at least a respect for how things have to integrate to create health. But you see how integration could be different for each person? Suppose somebody's flexible, but they just don't sleep. Suppose somebody sleeps great, but they're just inflexible. Suppose somebody sleeps great, and they're flexible, but their diet's horrid. Well, you see how you're going to have to vary therapy based on the same principles? That's how you contour and define specific approaches for health concerns. But that means compliance. It means you may have to sleep. You may have to comply with the request to sleep. Your body's saying, you need to sleep more. And you're saying to your body, but I can't sleep more. Because I got things to do. Your body may be saying, you need to clean out, change your diet. But you may be saying to your body, I don't have the time. I can stop at the coffee shop, wake up, and get to work. And then, worst of all, best of all, your joint may be saying, if you want to talk to me, my friend, you got to get 75% more flexible because you are as stiff as a board. And you may be saying, what do you mean? I'm going to find an extra hour a day, hour and 15 minutes a day to get flexible and strong? Do you mean I have to exercise or stretch or take time out of my busy day to actually move my body? I am a 2017 techno guy. I don't move my body. I sit at a desk. I roll into a car. I roll home. I roll to the kitchen table. I roll to the kitchen. I roll to the bed. I roll to the shower. I roll to the car. I roll to work. I sit at a desk, and that's what I do. Saturdays, I'm off, and I sit down and have my breakfast, and it lasts 3 hours, do a few errands, and then Sunday's family day, church day. That's what I do. And you're asking me to put in 6 to 7 hours to help turn around 40 years of chronic joint pain. And that's what you're saying. That is what you're saying. My contention to you is that you say these crazy things. I mean, when you really think about it, it's crazy. The amount of time, money, and energy you lose and quality of life you lose because you don't make the time because you tell yourself you can't make the time. And that's not true. It isn't true. You can make the time, but you don't. Because you don't understand why. And then if someone says, well, take the one-shot stop, you're down. If it's cost-effective, you're down. I hope you heal that way. I really do. But I submit to you, usually you don't. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Yes, you get it straight. Bring your health concerns to this show. 300 shows now or so. Get educated so you understand why and hopefully how you have to comply. And those of you in the quagmire or the labyrinth of darkness that comes with healing journeys, those of you with health concerns you can't get a grip on, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. Give my office a call, talk to my staff, and see if it's worth your time. I'll tell you it certainly is. And take a step so you can get on the right path. No shortcuts in this office. So if you're ready, if you've tried all sorts of one-stop approaches and you haven't gotten what you wanted, and you can kind of get the perspective here, then make the appointment. All right. Precipitation. Big word, big thing. Biomechanics. Flexibility in the tendon, the use of herbs, and where herbs may not work. Last but not least, the adrenal glands and their critical importance as anti-inflammatories. All part of the health matrix of what we call arthritis and eliminating it. Go to picture 42. Let me just read this to you from picture 42. If you look, this is the kind of thing you'll find out there. I love this kind of stuff. Bone calcification. The initial calcium salts, they're talking about in the joints. The initial calcium salts to be deposited are not hydroxyapatite crystals, but amorphous compounds. These amorphous salts can be absorbed rapidly when there is need for extra calcium in the extracellular fluid. That's a huge statement. It means those crystals that create the arthritis, those crystals are not crystals. They're soluble. And the cells use these calcium salts for nutrition, for calcium. And everybody's happy. And then in the same picture, I hope you're on the website. This is picture 42. In the same picture, then it says, precipitation of calcium in non-osseous tissues under abnormal conditions. Non-osseous. So precipitation of calcium in tissues that are not bone, which can mean connective tissues, which can mean arterial walls. precipitation of calcium into a crystal precipitates into arterial walls in a condition called arteriosclerosis and can cause the arteries to become bone-like tubes. That means these liquid, soluble calcium salts, like hydroxyapatite, can, under abnormal conditions, and that's what your nutritional health is about, begin to become solid and stick to the arterial walls. The same thing is going on in your joints. When you get those x-rays and you see those osteophytes, those bone spurs into the joint, those are calcium salts that have solidified, like what's on the inside of your arteries. And it's solidified and precipitated because of abnormal chemical conditions. This is why you cleanse. This is why you cleanse. What you do is you cleanse in all the ways you need to cleanse. Cleanse the liver, cleanse the kidney, cleanse the colon. Take the herbs that dissolve fibrin, the fibrinolytic herbs. Strengthen those solidified tendons so the joint begins to pulse. And that's how you change the precipitatory chemistry in the joint. That's how your body regulates its chemistry. And this is where your arthritis goes away. Now, you've got to have an understanding of some chemistry. Not a great understanding, but some basic respect for it. Last but not least, have somebody get their hands on that tissue when it's ready and cross fiber into the joint to finally put the last step on dissolving those crystals and watch that magic in the joint become real for you. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. Call that number. That's my office. Come on in if you need a consult. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.